Hebrews chapter 6. We'll title for a title, call this the God of Abraham. I'd like to look at Hebrews 6:13 through the remainder of the chapter, and maybe compare it with some of the things in the rest of the scripture. But in doing that, I'd like to go back to chapter 5, verse 10, and read through everything that leads up to Hebrews 6:13. And kind of talk about that a little bit. So let's begin in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10. And this is referring to our Lord Jesus Christ, and it says, He's called of God a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek is mentioned also back in verse 6 of chapter 5, where he says, He saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, which of course is his promise where in the 110th Psalm, where he said, The Lord swear and will not repent, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And that's speaking again of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here in verse 11, Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Now these Hebrew Christians had not evidently sought to grow any in the scriptures or in the knowledge of the truth. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, they'd had enough time that they ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again of the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as has need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one of you useth milk, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses discerned, exercised to discern both good and evil. Then verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, the basic principles, we're not going to go back and rebuild that. The basic principles of the doctrine of Christ were set before us in type, shadow, picture, promise by the prophets in the Old Testament. let us go on to perfection. And that perfection, of course, is perfection in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, which are works that are dead, from dead people, from dead principles, and dead motives, who know not the Lord. And of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptisms, what they mean, and the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. All of those things could be learned from the Old Testament. And this we will do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Now those who have whom God affords the opportunity to hear the gospel, and who sit under the gospel and who have some illumination by the Holy Spirit of the gospel, and who yet, through temptation of whatever sort, turn their back and walk away and declare that the gospel of Christ, there is no good news in it.
Yeah.
It's impossible for them to be, if they remain in that unrepentant condition, if they remain in unbelief, if they stay in a state of repudiation of the gospel, if they do not believe the gospel, it is absolutely impossible for them to be renewed again and to repent, seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put Him to an open shame. In other words, a believer, an unbeliever, whether they're an unbeliever by another gospel or a straight repudiation and disputation against the gospel, will not believe, they cannot be saved. They're lost.
Yes, right.
If they remain in that state. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, here now people are compared to the earth, both good and bad, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now, there's the two different types of hearers. Some hear the gospel. God gives them grace. They believe. And as many as are ordained to eternal life do believe the gospel.
Right.
When they hear it's preached, when the Holy Spirit takes that word and engrafts it into their hearts, then they believe the gospel. Others, to them, Christ is the savior of death unto death. They hear no good news. They cannot understand the gospel. What they do understand, Satan comes around and snatches it away from them, either by a false preacher or by some other means. So what we hear and how we hear, it's very important. Because there are many antichrists gone out into the world. John, 1 John 2:18 says, the children, as you have heard, there shall be antichrist. Even now there are many antichrists which are gone out. And it's so today.
Yeah.
Now everyone who preaches a Jesus who is not the Jesus of the Scriptures, that Jesus that wants to and can't, that Jesus got a good plan for you if you'll just cooperate by your free will. That Jesus that is handcuffed by your will. Well, he's not the Jesus of Scripture.
Yeah.
And everyone who is in his corner, so to speak, those who look to him for salvation, will be damned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Look at, turn on over to chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 26. Well, let's begin our reading at verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, if the truth has been presented to us, if God in grace has allowed us to get in 100 miles of the hearing of the gospel, and he doesn't allow everybody to come that close. There are millions who never heard of Jesus Christ and never heard the gospel, and they won't be saved.
Yeah.
For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now what is it to sin willfully after you have received the knowledge of the truth? It is to sin against that truth It is to not obey the gospel, and obeying the gospel is believing the gospel.
Yeah.
Those who disobey the gospel make God a liar. Now he, the God, puts a great deal of emphasis upon his righteousness, upon his holiness, upon his truth, and imagine what an affront it is to him to call him a liar. I want to come back to this place, but look here in 1 John chapter 5. Verse 9. 1 John chapter 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness of himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. This is the testimony that God gave of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, of who he is. He's the Son of God, what he did. He saved his people from his sins. Where he is now, he's exalted at the right hand of God. And what his salvation means, it means a deliverance of his people, all who have part in the covenant of grace.
Yeah.
Now, if we don't believe that record of God that God has given of his Son, we're calling God a liar. I don't believe what you're saying. I doubt your truthfulness. I doubt your honesty. I doubt your holiness. That's what people are. Now imagine. Now you talk about kindling the wrath of God.
Yeah.
Now I'll tell you, that's serious unbelief. Is a horrible sin.
Yes.
All right, let's go back. Hebrews chapter 6. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered unto the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence of full assurance of hope unto the end. Hope is a powerful thing.
Yes, it is.
You lose hope, you're a goner. It's like that little train that thought he could. Verse 12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience inherit the promises. Well, we ought to give diligence to all that the Scriptures said to us and what we know that we ought to do. But in doing diligence, we ought not to do anything only as a duty. We ought to do what we want to do, what we have a desire in our heart to do, whether it's attending the services, whether it's prayer in our closet at home, whatever it is, it's not to be done in the sense of duty, because then it's more dead works. But it's to be done from the heart.
Yes.
Verse 13. Now here's where I want to start looking at the Scriptures. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Now God, there was nothing greater. People swear by the greater. Well, God, there's nothing greater than God himself, so God swore by himself. Look at Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22, verse 16. I'm in Exodus. And I'll go back up to verse 15. And the angel of the Lord came unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, that is Isaac offering, or Abraham offering up Isaac, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now this promise that was to Abraham is to Abraham and his seed. Well, that promise that's to Abraham and his seed is Christ, and all who, and it is to all who are Christ. It's to Abraham and his spiritual seed. Hebrews 2:16, he took not the nature of angels, but he took on them the seed of Abraham. The Lord Jesus Christ took on him as surety of the covenant to deliver and to bring to final glory the seed of Abraham, which is believers. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now that's speaking to Abraham. After he had patiently endured. Well, what is to be endured? Well, we endure the afflictions of the gospel. Look at 2 Timothy 1:8. Give me just a minute here. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, the afflictions of the gospel are many. they're all for our good. But still, they can be grievous. They are separation from our old friends, and in many cases from our family and from our neighbors, and so on like that. But also, there are times when the Lord withdraws his sensible presence from us, and we are left to feel like that we're not known or do not know the Lord. In those times, we need to remember that feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. Our warrant is the Word of God. It's the only thing worth believing. In those times, we rely on the Word of God. We rely on the Word of God at all times. But then we look to the promises of the Scripture. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation. Now I'm back in the back in Hebrews 6. Verse 15. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. In other words, when men swear to one another, all the questions are taken out of the way. It's a done deal. It's settled. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it with an oath. God sware to Abraham, in thee and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. In that God swore to Abraham, all the questions, all the ifs, ands, and buts are taken out of the way. God has swore to Abraham and his seed concerning all these promises. And the promise is, the main portion of the promise is justification. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee and in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. Galatians 3:8. So God preached the gospel to Abraham and swore to him that he would be justified from all things. And that promise applies to everyone who is a believer. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise, who is the heirs of the promise? That's the children of the covenant. That's believers of all ages. The immutability of his counsel confirmed it with an oath, that by two immutable things. Well, what are those two things? The counsel of God and his oath. Look at Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 13. And let's begin reading at verse 12. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, the branch off the stump of David. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. And he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory. Now the Lord Jesus Christ gets all the glory for this house of God which we are, according to Hebrews chapter 3. And the temple that he is building is his church. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the counsel of peace shall be between them both. So the counsel of peace, or God's thoughts toward his people. Look at Jeremiah chapter 11. Verse 29. And I may have that backwards. I guess I have. It's Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah Jeremiah 29:11. Now here's the Lord's counsel of peace. And it's according to the promise that was made before the world began of eternal life. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That was God's purpose, to bring His people, believers, seed of Abraham, to final glory. Now back to Hebrews chapter 6. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it with an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled, or strong comfort, or a solid foundation, not trusting ourselves, but the word and promise of God, that we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. There's that word hope again. Now turn back to Psalm 89. Now, you know that we just said a minute ago that in Galatians 3:8, it said that the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham. Justification by a perfect righteousness. Now look at Psalm 89:16. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. Well, we are the circumcision who rejoice in Christ Jesus, worship God in the Spirit, and have no confidence in the flesh. He's talking about the seed of Abraham. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. In whose righteousness? In the righteousness of God established by our Lord Jesus Christ. In thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Look at Isaiah chapter 54 verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Look at Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Again, we are the circumcision who rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Isaiah again, 45. Verse 24. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 45:24. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. He is our righteousness. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Even to Him shall man come, and all that are incensed against Him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. So there is our perfect justification before the Lord, not in our works, not in anything that we have done, not as anything as foreseen of us, as faith or good works, but simply that we are given faith in order to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are accounted righteous in the eyes of God, and righteousness in the judicature of God or in God's judgment, righteousness entitles to eternal life.
Amen.
So everyone that believeth or believes is justified from all things from which we could not be justified by the works of the law. So the promise there is fulfilled to Abraham and his seed. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, "In thee and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be justified." Back to Hebrews chapter 6. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. Now, this counsel is God's counsel. It's what he has determined to be done from all ages, from everlasting. And it cannot change because he cannot change. look back at Isaiah. Chapter 59, verse 21. Now, what it takes for the conversion of a sinner is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That's what it takes. And it takes the Holy Spirit to make the Word effectual by engrafting the Word as a seed into his heart. Receive ye the engrafted Word with meekness. And he says here in Isaiah 59:21, "As for me," in other words, it doesn't matter to me what anybody else does. This is what I have determined. This is what I'm going to do. This is my purpose. It's my work.
Yeah.
"As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord." This is the Lord's determination.
Mm-hmm.
"My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth forever." That which is required for the salvation of the sinner is with the church by the Lord Jesus Christ forever. His Word and His Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
That's his covenant. He said, "As for me, this is my covenant." Now, all right, let's go back to Hebrews. No, I want to go to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17:7. "And God said unto Abraham," in Genesis 17:7, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee."
Mm-hmm.
"In their generations for an everlasting covenant. To be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee."
Mm-hmm.
weak as we are in believers, weak as our faith is, as long as the object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ, the strength of all these promises are exerted toward us. They're our promises in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
They're the promises of the children of God. And you know what David said. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my hope and all my desire, although he make it not to grow.
Amen.
So the counsel of God toward us. Look at Titus. Let's look at that for just a minute. Look at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. Well, let's believe in the promise. And the acknowledging of the truth as it is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Galatians 3:18. For if the inheritance be of the law, there is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise, and he swore to his promise. All right, back to Hebrews 6:17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Now, in Galatians 4:28, he said, and we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. Now, here we sit today, hearing these words, believing these words, and it's all because of this promise that was made thousands of years ago. We're children of the promise. The covenant is made effectual to us by the Holy Spirit bearing witness with the Word in our heart that this is the truth. And when the children of the covenant, who are of the truth, hear the truth, they recognize it as the truth. And they believe. And their citizenship is made manifest as citizens of glory. Not new citizens, but eternal citizens. Because they have ever been in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're sitting there today and can believe these things, if you can, if you do, if it's all you hope, if you're not looking to your good works or anything about yourself, but if you're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, then that is testimony to you that that life that is in Christ Jesus has been given to you. And this is the record that God hath given unto us. God hath promised unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Son in our Lord Jesus Christ. And what is that fellowship? A sharing of that life that's in Christ Jesus. He says, as I live. As long as I live. As long as the union between the Word and the flesh of Jesus Christ is intact, His people can't die. We are heirs because the first cause is the will of God. But the efficient cause, the efficacious cause, is our Lord Jesus Christ marrying our nature, coming into union with us. Both He that sanctifieth and all they are sanctified are all of one. And the immediate efficacious cause is the work of the Holy Spirit coming into us to give us a new heart, causing us to believe and depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as long as the union, as long as the God-man, as long as the God-man is the God-man, we'll live in Him. As I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me. John 14:20. I've got to misquote that, I think. John 14:20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Look back at verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. His people see Him. Children of the covenant see Him. They believe Him. That's what that means. They believe Him. But we see Jesus. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Now turn on over to John 17. Verse 21. John 17:21. And we'll begin reading at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone. He said, I'm not just praying for the apostles. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now, he wasn't guessing. No. Not if they'll do this or that or something else. But there's going to be some that shall believe. And who is that? It's the elect world. Out of every age. Neither pray I for these alone, but that them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. I wouldn't dare make a statement like that unless I read it out of this book. That I had union with the Father in some way. But that way is through the Son, right, as He is God, man, and mediator. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't dare make a statement like that. But now I do, because it's written right here. Uh-huh. Yeah. That they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And that the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's good news. Perfection by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are set apart from old eternity, chosen of God before the foundation of the world, set apart in the Lord Jesus Christ, reserved and preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ from before the world was. They've always been in him. Psalm 90, verse 1, thou hast been our dwelling place to all generations. We've ever been in him. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now there's another statement I wouldn't dare to make unless it's written in this book. I wouldn't dare to make a statement like that. Reason can't get a hold of that, but faith believes it. It finds it written in the book of God.
Yeah.
Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me from before the foundation of the world. So we love them. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's the reason that we believe.
Yeah.
Is because of the strength and power of the covenant of God exerted toward us by the Holy Spirit. I will bring them into the bond of the covenant.
Yeah.
And he has. Now, look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 44. Now, this is our Lord controverting with the Pharisees, those who will not believe. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now, on over in John chapter 10, verse 26, our Lord says, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
So, those whom God visits and seals the gospel in their heart, causes them to believe it, gives them faith, that is a token to them that they are of the children of God.
Yeah.
Alright, back to Hebrews 6. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, and that's believers, the immutability of his counsel, his thoughts toward us, which are good things for us, confirmed it with an oath, that by two immutable things, which was impossible for God to lie, they might have strong consolation. Great comfort. Yeah. Comfort ye, mm-hmm. comfort ye, my people, mm-hmm. saith your God. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before, which is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which endureth, when which entereth into that which is in the veil. And that's speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, entered in to heaven. Mm-hmm. Whether the forerunner is for us entered in. Now he's entered in to the true sanctuary, into the very presence of God, with those who have always been in him, still in him. As the high priest had the names of the children of Israel on his shoulder and on his breastplate, and he bore them before the Lord in his government, on his shoulder, in his heart, in his affections, on his heart, so the Lord Jesus Christ bears our names in before God, engraved in the palm of his hand. Whether the forerunner is for us, even Jesus, made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek.